Welcome to The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan. It'll be my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the next 30 minutes. The Onion is a parody of news and commentary and contains material that some people will find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Today, Obama's show off vibrant marriage by inviting nation to join them in boudoir, Dateline Washington. In apparent effort to tamp down on recent speculation about their relationship, Barack and Michelle Obama reportedly showed off their vibrant marriage Friday by inviting the nation to join them in the boudoir. Obviously, there have been some rumors swirling around about myself and Michelle, and we'd like to put that to rest by letting the country into our bedroom to see the kind of passionate lovemaking we still embark on every night, the former president said as he wrapped an arm around his wife and beckoned to all 340 million Americans. The truth is, we have never loved each other more. Go ahead and make yourself comfortable in the corner. I'll blow out these candles. You know, you pay attention, you'll kind of see how I anticipate every one of Michelle's needs, as she does mine. That's the kind of sexual understanding that only comes with time. And hey, if one of you wants to reach in and give us a hand, feel free. No worries at all. This bedroom is a no-judgment zone. After the 82-year-old was seen peering out of the closet, Obama told the nation to pay no attention to former President Joe Biden, stressing that he was just there to watch. Next, even investigators not sure why they keep releasing details of Gene Hackman's death. Dateline Santa Fe, New Mexico. Appearing visibly giddy as they released to the public a new barrage of information about the deceased couple's living conditions, personal lives, and private health issues, local authorities announced Friday that even they were not sure why the kept sharing details of Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy Arakawa's deaths. We have no idea why, but every time we find a new detail about their tragic passing, I'm like, oh my God, we have to tell everyone, said Ben Chavez of the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office, admitting that he felt compelled by a force he couldn't understand to continue painting a timeline of the couple's last moments, despite investigators having known for nearly 2 months that both died of natural causes with no evidence of foul play. She and one of the dogs were dead for days. Did we tell you that? As soon as the medical examiner said hantavirus, it was like I physically could not hold the words in my mouth. By the way, did we show you these pictures of the rat's nest? Gross, right? See, we can't stop. We released hours of footage, and I don't think 10 minutes passed before all these images of their cluttered, messy home were published online with a salacious headline. What a thrill. Hey, want to know what was in the fridge? At press time, Chavez was reportedly investigating whether or not innocuous security footage of Arakawa grocery shopping the day before she likely died could be spun into evidence that she was a devil-worshipping cannibal. Next, small town kind where everyone leaves chastity belts unlocked. Dateline Amesville, Ohio. Explaining that the tight-knit community was built upon a strong foundation of trust, residents in the small Midwestern locale told reporters Wednesday that their town was the kind where everyone leaves their chastity belts unlocked. Everybody knows everybody in a place this size, so when my father leaves, he doesn't even bother to lock up my chastity belt, said 22-year-old Amesville resident Mildred Hunneman, adding that having neighbors slip in and out as they pleased was one of the great joys of their slower pace of life. We just try to be friendly and accommodating. Why, if old Tom down the road wants to stroll over and pop inside me, he knows he's welcome to do it. Just as sure as I'm welcome to do the same to him. I must have had half the dang town in here just last week. My sister Clara moved out to the big city some years back, and when I went to visit, her chastity belt had 3 different locks on it. She'd get up in the middle of the night to double-check them. You'd never see that kind of fussing and worrying here in Amesville. Heck, you're liable to get laughed at if anyone ever catches you walking around with your key. At press time, sources confirmed that Hunneman had warily locked her chastity belt after seeing a Hispanic couple pull in at a gas station. Next, study finds handmade boy marionettes falling behind peers in school. Dateline, New York. Revealing a concerning decades-long decline in academic achievement for the demographic, a New York University study published Monday found that handmade boy marionettes were falling behind their peers in school. When analyzing standardized test scores across elementary and middle school students, it's clear that little boy marionettes hand-carved out of wood are not keeping pace with their fellow classmates, said the study's lead author, Professor Liam Falk, who explained that the lagging aptitude of the wooden boy puppets was likely attributable to factors such as frequently skipping class to visit the land of toys, tangled strings impeding their hands from writing, and being raised in single Italian woodworker households. Our data revealed that these marionette boys have a more difficult time paying attention to their responsibilities and listening to authority figures than their flesh and blood counterparts. This is not to mention their rampant lying, which often leads to growing noses as well as higher rates of school suspensions. Among the study's recommendations are programs that pair handmade boy marionettes with dapper and gentlemanly crickets that can act as their mentor and moral guide. Next, Russell Brand, invited to Florida College to teach sexual assault workshop, Dateline, Sarasota, Florida. As part of an effort to expose the student body to a variety of cultural perspectives, the New College of Florida announced Thursday that it had invited English comedian and podcaster Russell Brand to teach a sexual assault workshop. Mr. Brand has an incredible range of experience he can share with both students and the local community alike, said New College of Florida President Richard Cochran, adding that the school would be conferring an honorary degree upon the British actor, whom he lauded as a leading scholar in the field of non-consensual studies. He's a free thinker and a free doer, gifted young sex pests who would like to attend touching without permission can register now. Mr. Brand has promised there will be plenty of hands-on experience. At press time, reports confirmed the college had been forced to postpone the workshop after new charges were filed against Brand in the state of Florida. Next, DOG plants gun on Maine. Dateline, Augusta, Maine. In a stunning discovery that linked all 1.4 million residents to a grisly unsolved cold case, the U.S. Department of Justice escalated its attacks on Maine Friday when it allegedly planted a gun on the state. Well, what do we have here? U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi said as she held up the weapon with a rubber glove, adding that the Beretta 92FS pistol, which had allegedly been used in several high-profile murders, including a recent triple homicide, had the state population's DNA all over it. Likely story, this isn't yours. I bet if we keep looking, we'll find a bullet casings in a body, too. And if that happens, let's just say you all will be going away for a very, very long time. At press time, Maine's populace had been detained and taken in for questioning after attempting to flee across the Canadian border. Next, historians quibbling over exact definition of concentration camp, sign of healthy society, Dateline, New Haven, Connecticut. Calling such concern for linguistic precision a clear indicator of a thriving country, a panel of historians from Yale University issued a statement Thursday announcing that quibbling over the exact definition of a concentration camp was a sign of a healthy society. Studies of the past tell us that nitpicking the particular semantics of the term concentration camp as they pertain to a place the government is actively sending people with no criminal history is highly associated with national stability, said historian Kirsten Boyd, who added that the more pedantic one's reasoning for a facility not fully satisfying the criteria for a true concentration camp, the better that bodes for a country's future. Time and time again, history shows us that caveat-laden arguments about what is or isn't a concentration camp only occur in countries with sound political systems. When people are splitting hairs over the specific methodology and intent behind mass detention and human rights abuses, that's when you know you're looking at a vibrant, civilized society. It's as true today as it was 100 years ago. Civilizations are healthier when citizens are raising trivial objections to the use of the term concentration camp on the grounds that their neighbor's rendition of to an oversight fee-free mass prison still technically exists within a legal framework, at least on paper. Boyd went on to state that blindly insisting that anyone who wound up in a concentration camp must have done something wrong to get there has historically always been a sign of a healthy conscience. Next, World Wildlife Fund now just trying to get few nice photos of every species for posterity. Dateline Glan, Switzerland. Emphasizing the importance of having at least something to remember them by, the World Wildlife Fund announced Wednesday that it was now just trying to get a couple of nice photos of every animal species for posterity. At this point, we're pretty much committed to taking some high-quality, well-lit pictures of the world's remaining fauna so future generations can get a clear sense of what they were like, said WWF board chairman Neville Isdell, adding that his organization had already begun reallocating its resources from conservation campaigns to producing majestic photographic portraits. We're going to start with the most vulnerable animals, of course, but we'll get shots of them all eventually. It may be difficult to get some of the more active species to hold still long enough to take a crisp in-focus photo, but we have a moral obligation to safeguard the images of these creatures, if nothing else. At press time, WWF photographers were setting up light stands around an endangered Sumatran orangutan. Next, parents of crying child must not be any good. Dateline Woodbury, Minnesota. Noting how the pair's failure to promptly resolve the situation was a clear indication of their inability to raise or care for another human being, sources confirmed Friday that the parents of a crying infant must not be any good. Initial attempts to subdue the wailing child, which reportedly included presenting her with a bottle and later a stuffed animal, are said to have failed miserably, leading onlookers to conclude that the inept adults lacked even the most basic child-rearing skills. In addition, the baby's incessant screaming only worsened following the couple's repeated attempts to soothe her, further highlighting their profound inadequacies as a mother and father. At press time, sources confirmed another child just a few feet away from the bawling infant was not crying, and therefore being raised by good parents who loved her. Next, Interpol admits 89% of its cases involve finding, recovering the Mona Lisa. Dateline Paris. Shortly after returning Leonardo da Vinci's most famous portrait to its home at the Louvre for the second time this week, Interpol officials admitted Wednesday that a full 89% of its work involves locating and recovering the Mona Lisa. When we're not busy tracking down a burglar who has just stolen the Mona Lisa, we're usually staking out the compound of a black market art dealer trying to sell the Mona Lisa or infiltrating a crime syndicate actively planning a Mona Lisa heist, said Secretary General Jürgen Stock, citing the dozens of times per month that Interpol agents in search of the painting typically give chase through the Paris sewers stop Moscow-bound trains to search the first-class compartments, or put out an urgent alert to their counterparts in the Swiss Alps. Every few days, we're off pursuing another thief in another part of the world. Sometimes we'll put the Mona Lisa back on the wall, turn around, and within minutes it's gone again. If we're lucky, we can sometimes get it back before anyone notices. But that's rare. At press time, sources confirmed the Mona Lisa was missing. Next, pros and cons of bringing back extinct species. Colossal Biosciences claims it has brought back the dire wolf, a species that went extinct thousands of years ago by editing the genes of gray wolves. The Onion examines the pros and cons of resurrecting extinct species. Pro: no other problems for science to tackle right now. Con: some of them are bugs. Pro: new animals at the zoo to huck rocks at. Con: woolly mammoths ill-equipped for modern service economy. Pro: would be interesting to see how cat interacts with ankylosaur. Con: not enough krill to go around. Pro: get to call the dodo ugly to its face. Con: who's going to walk them? Next, new iPad offers 3 months of something called Apple Deli Plus. Dateline Chicago. Unsure what to make of the perk that came bundled with his recently purchased device, area man David Halstead reported Tuesday that his new iPad offered 3 months of something called Apple Deli Plus. I just linked my iPad up to my Apple ID, and apparently my Meat Pass has been activated, and I've been enrolled in whatever Apple Deli Plus is until April, a bewildered Halstead said as he warily pressed the deli icon on his iPad's home screen and his finger hesitated for just a moment over the app's minimalist rendering of a sliced deli ham. Huh? According to this, my Apple Deli Plus membership includes 24/7 access to Apple's Sandwiches Geniuses as well as 250 salami points. They've somehow already logged the prosciutto caprese I got for lunch, even though I wasn't signed in yet. I guess the Find My Cold Cuts feature could be useful. And wow, they have a mustard in rose gold that's actually really pretty. I still don't know if I like being locked into the Apple Meat ecosystem, but maybe 90 days of this could be cool if I can figure out how to get some dill pickles and tuna salad out of it. Sources confirmed that by the end of the day, Halstead had already forgotten about the recurring $12 charge that he will continue paying each month for the rest of his life. Next, nephew in trouble for strangling again, Dateline Wilmington, Delaware. Adding to his streak of disagreeable behavior, 12-year-old nephew Cooper Goodpaster was reportedly in trouble for strangling again. Oh, gosh. That's not good, is it? The 38-year-old Zachary Goodpaster, the delinquent child's uncle, who was troubled upon receiving the news that his brother's oldest song had earned his third suspension for wrapping his hands around a person's throat and squeezing until they passed out. Kid's starting to get big. He's like 5.5 feet tall. He was supposed to get an in-school suspension, but they couldn't find a teacher who would agree to do it. Apparently, the union got involved. The principal couldn't do it either. He's still working from home while he recovers. At press time, the 38-year-old man had flinched after his nephew went in for a hug. Next, report: wife hasn't been home in a few days. Dateline Medina, Ohio. Speculating that the situation could be worth looking into at some point down the line, a report released Friday found that local wife Casey Davis, 37, hadn't been home in a few days. Huh? That's weird, said Nick Davis, who was quoted in the report and who looked from a television playing a rerun, of Chicago Fire. to a window showing that his wife's car was still not in the driveway after what must have been 2 or 3 days. I'm pretty sure she usually comes home every day, but she's definitely not here now because I called out her name a few times and she didn't answer. Guess I'll order delivery again. She'd probably call if something was wrong, right? The report concluded that it was no doubt best to give it a few more days before sending her a text. Next. Dainty little man orders single cheeseburger, Dateline El Reno, Oklahoma. Explaining to the server at local restaurant Sid's Diner that he only wanted one patty, not two, dainty little man Carlos Villarreal reportedly ordered a single cheeseburger Thursday. Oh dear, is this delicate fellow worried a burger with double meat would upset his tender tummy, said onlooker Miles Friedmont, wondering aloud whether Villarreal was purchasing the diminutive sandwich, not for himself, but for a young child of poor appetite or perhaps a bedridden relative, unable to stomach anything more substantial. And he wants no bacon on his burger either. Maybe the fragile gentleman is watching his figure, or maybe he's more sickly than he looks. My goodness, now he's telling the woman behind the counter that he doesn't even want the meal deal, just a sandwich. How prim and refined his lordship must be to forego fries. According to reports, the dainty little man went on to ask for a cup of water, no doubt concerned the bubbles in a fizzy soft drink would overwhelm his sensitive nervous system. Next, J.D. Vance rushes to put wife's head back on after fumbling second lady. Dateline Washington. Completely mortified while watching the body part detach, Vice President J.D. Vance reportedly rushed Thursday to put his wife's head back on after fumbling the second lady. No, cried out the 40-year-old vice president, who watched in shock and horror as Usher Vance's head slipped from his grasp and tumbled onto the floor, bouncing off the leg of an end table before rolling underneath the sofa. I was only trying to pick her up. Well, shit, it's not too late. I can fix this. If it comes off, this must mean it can go back on. At press time, the vice president was hoping no one at the state dinner would notice the duct tape on his wife's neck. Next, Salvadoran president claims he lacks humanity to return a wrongly deported man, Dateline Washington. During a visit with President Donald Trump at the White House, El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele claimed Monday that he lacks the humanity to return wrongly deported legal U.S. resident Kilmar Abrego Garcia back to America. How can I return an innocent man to the United States when I don't have the ability to feel empathy or compassion, said Bukele, explaining that he's consulted with his top advisors about the 29-year-old Maryland father being held in a Salvadoran prison, but none of them could find it in their hearts to care at all about the man's situation. Do you hear how ridiculous it sounds to expect that I could see myself reflected in another human being's experience? Even if I wanted to, there's no way I could acknowledge the plight of someone who is suffering because I am completely numb to the pain of others. My hands are tied because I'm totally dead inside. At press time, President Trump had publicly thanked Bukele for his use of cruelty to project a facade of strength. Next, show me where you make autism, shouts RFK Jr. storming Sour Patch Kids Factory, Dateline East Hanover, New Jersey. As part of the health secretary's highly publicized pledge to determine the cause of the disorder in the next 5 months, a wild-eyed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reportedly shouted, "Show me where autism is made," Thursday, while storming the Sour Patch Kid Factory. Attention, Sour Patch Factory people. Give me the autism and no one gets hurt, said the 71-year-old cabinet member and vaccine skeptic, who cocked his gun and kicked down the door of the facility, grabbing workers, shooting bullets at conveyor belts, and kicking down enormous vats of bright-colored gelatin before demanding to see the head autism scientist, so he could kill him and end autism forever. Enough. You can try to hide autism all you want, but I know it's in here. I can smell it. I've searched high and low, at the Skittles factory, at the Warheads factory, and at the Nerds Gummy Clusters factory. But it ends today. Autism. Prepare to eat lead. At press time, Kennedy could be heard screaming, "Oh no, the autism's got me," and begging a factory worker to put him out of his misery. Next, Coachella by the numbers. Coachella, the annual music festival held at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California, has wrapped up the first of its two weekends. The Onion takes a look at the key facts and figures behind the event. $300 for MDMA that turned out to be fucking sugar pills. 4. Fresh deer carcasses specified in Lady Gaga's Rider. 7. Couples breaking up on the Ferris wheel right now. 1,197. iPhones dropped into porta-potties. 11 p.m. Travis Scott's bedtime. 4:39. Times attendees have incorrectly yelled, "Hey, it's Malcolm Gladwell." 50% effort put into woohoo for Benson Boone. 1. Desert somehow made even more uninhabitable. That concludes another edition of The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan. It's been my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the last half hour. And until next time, be well.